weathered the newest great winter storm of 2011.
Good to be with all the true believers.
That's right. Well, Father, I do pray that you would just sow light and life into our hearts, that your word would bring fruit, and you would teach us about your ways, draw our hearts to follow you, Lord. Open our ears to hear. Anoint my lips, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm really glad you're here. Earlier today, I thought we might, because it's changed, which is typical for us, and we might have to cancel church, but we're not, and we're here, and this is a good thing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just talked a little bit again tonight about the ways of God, and a little bit about sacrifice, so that'll be sort of the second part when we talked about that a few weeks ago, about sacrifice of praise. But you know, the Lord is, His ways are so different than the ways of the world. The way up is down. To live, you have to die. To get, you have to give. And He transforms from the inside out instead of the outside in. And so I want to talk a little bit again tonight about the ways of God, because it contrasts our logical thinking. And if we don't understand the ways of God, the enemy just deceives us and pulls us down. So tonight I want to talk a little bit about the ministry of darkness and how God uses darkness. Darkness being those things that come into our life that just seem dark and difficult. And then again, we talked about this Sunday morning, in this world we will have tribulation. That's one of those real promises of God that most of us don't have on our refrigerator, that's attached by a magnet that we don't run around confessing. And as a matter of fact, most charismatics have taught us that we're supposed to confess that it's not true. And somehow if we'll confess that it's not true, it won't happen. The reality is that the enemy does send stuff our way, and the Lord allows those things to happen, and God is sovereign in our lives, and in this fallen world, we will have tribulation. Now, Jesus did say to them, cheer up, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. But the reality of tribulation and trials are just part of the deal. And let me read a couple of familiar passages, but just to remind you. One is from James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Know that your faith, the testing of your faith produces endurance, and it goes on and on. He doesn't say confess that it isn't really a trial. He says consider it all joy. And I think I've told this story before. I remember years ago when I first was starting to get involved with charismatics and through Livia's relationships with people. And I went to a GLOW meeting one night. And to go to a GLOW meeting, those of you who don't know what a GLOW is, a GLOW is sort of a famous women's charismatic thing. And at one time, it was pretty big in the city. And Livy was the vice president of a GLOW. But a GLOW it was kind of like some restaurants. You never knew what your meal was going to be like when you went there. And so sometimes it was a nice, fun, healthy things, and sometimes it was very fruitful in different ways. And so we were there, and this couple that I knew, he came up to me, and I said to him, I said, Ed, how you doing? He said, I touched him on the back. He said, oh, man, don't do that because I have bad sunburn. And his wife walked up to him, and he said, oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to confess that I have a sunburn. I said, okay. Then, therefore, when I hit you on the back, it's not going to hurt you again. And that's just part of it. And that's, you hear that stuff, and it's just nonsense. He had a sunburn. And Jesus wants to heal us. But a doctor can't heal you if you don't first go to him and say, I've got something wrong with me. And so there's this transparent place that God's called us to. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says this. It says, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So I want to just talk to you about the wisdom of darkness, the ministry of darkness, and the value of darkness. Just read you a couple of things I wrote down. It says, darkness does not need to be the enemy of light. When seated with God's grace, darkness becomes its catalyst. You wouldn't even know what light was if there wasn't the darkness to contrast light. Darkness and light are contrast. And when Jesus said we're the light of the world, it's because we shine into a dark place. Again, let me read that to you again. Darkness need not be the enemy of light. When seated with God's grace, darkness becomes its catalyst. And for believers, every time you and I experience darkness, it's seated with the grace of God. Now, whether or not you and I will discover the grace of God and wait on the grace of God and stand in hope of the grace of God, believe in the grace of God and that light's going to come forth is a different story. Light is born out of darkness. And night itself becomes the womb of the day. You know, a new day begins at the darkest time of the day, at midnight. And yet it becomes the womb of a new day and the womb of light. Let me read this to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is probably won't be a very long word, but I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And it's that first phrase. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. That's the ways of God. That light seems to be the brightest when it's in contrast to darkness. And God works that way. It's like we hope that when we bought these pews, we could buy the most comfortable cushion we can. We could have gotten wooden pews, and they're pretty, but they're not very comfortable. So we got pews with cushions on them. And so that's this soft thing. But for you to experience the soft, if we just laid cushions and sort of suspended them in the air, the moment that you sat on them, you'd fall to the floor. And so they had to build something hard, which is the contrast of soft, for you to be able to experience and celebrate soft. When I was in Brazil, and we stayed at this retreat center, and remember, it was a Brazilian retreat center, which isn't the same as a retreat center. And the mattresses they had were African mattresses. That was their beds. They had this frame that sat about that far off the floor, and they put, I guess, like, there weren't like slats, but it was just wood just going across, and then they laid plywood on top of it. And then on top of the plywood, they put a little mattress about that thick. There wasn't foam, I don't know what it was, but it's about that thick. Now, I guess if you're a little bitty guy, that would work, but for a big guy, that means turning over on different sides about 4,000 times during the night as different parts of your body goes numb during the night. And so I went to them. They said, is there anything we can do to help you? I said, can you create a greater contrast to the hardness that you have with this frame bed? And they did. They came up with a bigger cushion. And so I was able to appreciate the soft, but I couldn't have known that without the hard floor or something to lay that on. It can't be suspended in air. And that's just the ways of God, that God uses the contrasting thing to accentuate soft or light, and light shines out of darkness. Now that's a really, really, really important thing for you and I to always remember, because it's so easy for us to get lost in the darkness and to get blinded, and it's all we can think about is how things around us are dark, and therefore it has no value. Remember to a few verses in the Old Testament that are kind of familiar to us over the years. One, I was quoting to somebody, I think yesterday, but this is from Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, it says in verse 2, I will go before you and make the rough places smooth, and I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secret places, in order that you may know that it is me, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. So he talks about darkness and the treasures of darkness, that God wants to give us treasures in darkness. Now, that's an interesting statement to me, because if you want to discover treasures, what you want is all the light you can possibly have so you can see it. Yet he says it's in the dark places where we find treasures. Let's see if I can find this one. can't guarantee you that I can. I didn't write this one down. I think it was one of our readings. Gary's my concordance. Where is that psalm, Gary, that he surrounds himself with clouds and thick darkness? 18? Is that T.C. Stahl that said that? Who is not my concordance, and she got the wrong verse, too.
It is not
18. You mean Psalm 118?
No, 18.
Okay. Neither. Gary, you're failing me. The Lord reigns. I can give you the gist of it, but now I'm obsessed with finding what the scripture is.
Try the 90.
Try the 90. Here we go. 97. That's close to 18. You stepped out and took a chance, T.C. Therefore, you probably don't want to do that again for a while. It says in Psalm 97, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him, and righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. One of the things we talked about some, especially during the Christmas season, is how God likes to hide himself. And he teaches us to walk by faith and teaches us his ways by hiding himself. Like Jesus could have been born in the context of a king. Why wasn't he born in a palace? Why wasn't he born in Jerusalem? But instead, he's born to poor parents. And he's born in a stall, and he's laid in a manger, a feeding trough, and he's wrapped up in rags. Not the obvious place where you'd look for the Messiah, and yet there were those who found him. They knew, remember the story about the Magi, and again, Simeon and Anna? It wasn't just that they were looking for him, they knew where to look. They had learned some things about the ways of God, that God likes to hide himself. And we find Jesus coming to us in the form of bread and wine. He likes to hide himself. Not that he's reluctant for us to find him, but he just teaches us some things about his ways. And the Lord hides in darkness, and he hides in difficult places. And he hides in those places with treasures in his hands and treasures in his pocket that he wants us to experience and enjoy. And just because there's things going around us where it's clouds and thick darkness, we think that the enemy's winning. But it says in this verse, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. And so when there's clouds and thick darkness, it's easy to see God reigning when everything is sunshine. But what about when there's clouds and thick darkness, when things don't make sense and things hurt and things are disappointing and difficult? He still reigns. And it's there he wants us to glean the treasures of darkness. In Jeremiah 15, again, for those of you who've been around a while, this is a real familiar passage of Scripture. Now, I'm going to say this to you. I think that what I'm saying to you tonight, in this particular first part of this, because in some ways what I'm talking to you about is the ways of God in relationship to suffering. We've seen a real uptick in recent months of the healing power of God and God doing some remarkable things. This is, I think, about Christian and just the stunning events in the last few days where I heard today that the technician who did the CT scan at Vaughn was stunned that she didn't have surgery. And he said that it was the worst cut he had ever seen, laceration he'd ever seen in her liver. And yet she came home this afternoon. And we prayed, you know, that she wouldn't have to have surgery and that the bleeding would stop and all the things that would happen. There have been just a number of things that have gone on that are just stunning. The fact that they weren't killed. That accident, just amazing. And yet, Christian is still at home in pain, has a broken ankle, lacerated liver. I mean, they're suffering. Just think of the anguish that Matt and Jennifer went through, you know, when they basically drove back from Prattville not knowing whether the children were alive or dead, especially Christian. And so why didn't God just spare them of all that? Why did God just spare Christian of all that? You know, why didn't the Lord just keep Kelly from having to experience a concussion, or the other families involved, Olivia, the girl that was with them? Why, you know, Paul sometimes was supernaturally delivered from circumstances. You read through the book of Acts, it's almost confusing because you go, You know, one thing, Paul, snake bites him and he doesn't die. And then he gets scourged. God supernaturally delivers him, then he gets stoned. You know, what? And so we try to form a theology in that, and you can't. Our God, you can't put God in a box. But one thing I can tell you that Jesus said is that in this world you have tribulation. And in those places, those dark places, light shines out of darkness. And what you and I've got to learn the discipline of is that when we find ourselves in a dark place, and it can be in a dark place that's very acute, it happens, and then the darkness starts to fade pretty soon, or maybe it's a dark place that you've called to walk in for years. And why? Because there's light and treasures that God wants you to experience. One of the things you can assume, if it's true that the night is the womb that gives birth to the day, if it's darkness that gives light its real meaning in this fallen world, when you find your place, self in darkness and surrounded by darkness, there's a couple of things you can know. One, He still reigns. And two, this thing is going to give birth to light if you'll trust Him. Don't wait until the light begins to shine to go, oh, yeah, well, thank you, Jesus, and worship Him. We need to worship Him when we're standing and surrounded by clouds and thick darkness, believing that He still reigns. He's reigning then, even though we can't see it. And that this thing is the womb of light, and it will give birth to light in God's time. Jeremiah 15, verse 18. Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? That's the cry of a heart that's really disappointed in God. Wilt thou indeed, God, be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Why don't you do something about this thing that I'm going through? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Bring, and before me you will stand. And this is a verse we've looked at over the years. It's so important. This is one of the real, real, real important keys to understand the ways of God and living in freedom instead of despair in your Christian life. If you will extract the precious from the worthless, you will become my spokesman. They in their part may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. He says that in everything that feels and looks worthless, there are precious things there. There's something precious there. There's light, and there are treasures. And what we're called to do, instead of standing in fear and despair and complaining and unbelief, we're to mind, like you're mining for gold, the treasure and the light and that which is precious there. God is doing something precious, and it will give birth to light. It's really significant that we understand that. Okay? We had to believe all the years that Craig suffered headache that God was doing, depositing in him treasures. And even before his healing, Craig was a spokesman. God raised him up to be a spokesman to people who suffered and who didn't yet see the light, who weren't really mining the treasures. And there were things that God did in Craig that were precious, because now that he's healed, he has more compassion for the suffering than he's ever had in his life. But even during the time of suffering, what a voice to people who are complaining and griping, you know, because they had some little issue going on in their life, or things were a little uncomfortable at home. Craig could speak with authority. He was God's spokesman. And there were times it was really, really hard, but I also saw Craig spend more time in the Word, mining the treasures of God for his own personal life. And I can tell you that through that place, God catapulted Craig. It was like Craig was an advanced higher education spiritually. Now, not everybody goes through suffering. Is that true? Sometimes all they do is they leave in the darkness. And don't extract. Extract means you have to pull it out. Extract the treasures. And if you don't, then it's just a sad. The enemy wins. You with me? God wants to do this stuff in your life and release glory in your life through the darkness, in the difficult place. He wants you to believe that this thing is giving birth to light. He wants you to find the light. He wants you to mine the treasures. There's things about Him. This is about your walk with Him and what He's doing in you and what He's making of you. What He's making in you. What He's conforming and forming in you. Light shining out of darkness. Okay? Now, for Tom was. But there's another part of it too. And light shines out of darkness for me. When I encounter darkness, God just wants to shine. Let me just read this verse to you. Let me read it to you again from this perspective. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. And the word there, knowledge, is experience. Knowledge, intimate experience of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You know the light, the primary light that God wants to shine into your life? To whatever darkness you may be going through, what that darkness can be loneliness, it could be pain, it could be emotional pain, it could be suffering, it could be rejection, it could be severe temptation, it could be all kinds of stuff, persecution, rejection, you with me? Financial stuff. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light and the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What He wants to reveal in you is an experience of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus. He wants you to encounter the face of Jesus, where real life is realized. In His presence is fullness of joy. It doesn't say in the absence of darkness is fullness of joy. It says in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And the light that shines out of darkness, He says, shine our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God. What God wants to do is shine the light of the experience of the glory of God that comes in the face of Christ through your dark place. Extract that. Mind that. You hear me? But the light that God wants to come forth out of the darkness. And see, here's the interesting thing. You can walk through a place where everything around you is still darkness. But if the light of the knowledge of the glory of God is shining in your hearts in the face of Christ, everything in the inside is lit up. Because it's the glory of God is like a light on the inside that everything around you hasn't changed yet. See, this is what we need. You don't first and foremost need your situation to change. Now, we're not talking about healing. God comes to heal and make us whole. But we live in a fallen world. And we want everything around us to change because we think we'll be happy. No, you'll be happy when the light of the glory of God is shining in your heart in the face of Christ. When the face of Christ has become more real to you on the inside and everything else is going around on the outside. That's real freedom. But God also wants light to shine from you in your dark places for others. For others. It's always about others. 2 Corinthians 4, he says, always in verse 10, caring about the body, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also be manifest in our body. We who live are constantly being delivered over for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh, so death works in us, but life in you. On two levels. When you're walking in a dark place, especially if it's circumstantial things, most of the people around you know the thing that's going on in your lives. The people around you who are closest know that the most. But if you're abiding in the face of Christ on the inside, you're living in the light of the glory of God on the inside, it brings such light to them. Because you know what? If they aren't now, they're going to experience darkness too. We live in a fallen world. And they discover from you that even though things aren't happening the way that I thought they were, and there seems to be setbacks in my life, I don't have to live in darkness. I can know the face of Christ too. And I can know the glory of God here. That's the treasure that He wants. That's the precious thing He wants me to extract here, is the glory of God. But also this. The darkness, and we talked about sacrifices and how God loves sacrifices. And not like legalistic stuff. We manipulate God by making sacrifices under the law. But God loves a sacrifice that's given freely and given with joy as a sacrificial act of affection. It just moves His heart on our behalf. Again, just like in any other relationship. You know, I told this story before, but I always tell young guys when they get married, one of the key things to do is give flowers on Tuesday. Roses on Tuesday. Do something out of the ordinary. Do something that seems sacrificial. Do something that's very thoughtful. That's not expected. A sacrificial act of affection. And I said, it'll move your wife's heart. It'll make her heart tender to you. God's like that too. He's like that too. Jesus is like that. We're His bride. And we make voluntary acts, sacrificial acts of affection to Him. Then it just moves His heart on our behalf. Like Mary Magdalene moved the heart of Christ. Martha didn't move Him to action, but Mary did. Because of the spikenard and the sacrificial acts of affection that she offered Him. Now, if you remember this, we looked at this, that's a couple years ago. But that verse I read to you earlier, look back at 1 Peter. We just have a few more minutes, then we'll stop. But let me read to you again the way it should be translated. If you look out in your margins, it'll say the ancient manuscripts say it this way. So I'm going to read it to you the way the most ancient manuscripts wrote it. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. That the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you go through various trials, if your faith is proved to be real, what will be happening is that you'll praise Him, glory, and honor Him, even in the various trials. And though you have not seen Him, you still love Him. Even though you don't see Him, and it's, you know, when we go through darkness, we're like, Lord, if I can just see You, you know, this, because this doesn't make sense. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. You know what He talks about? The trials? He talks about greatly rejoicing in verse 6. That we'll be found praising Him, glorying Him, and honoring Him. That we greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. That we stand in our trials believing Him and loving Him. Obtaining is the outcome of that faith. What? The salvation of souls. Now, my Bible says the salvation of your soul. But the ancient manuscript says the salvation of souls. That somehow my standing in dark places and rejoicing and loving on Him and trusting Him and believing Him and honoring Him and celebrating the glory of God, and even though it's darkness, it's a truth. It results in the outcome, the salvation of souls. One, by what I just said earlier, it moves people to discover the reality of Christ. They're human beings. They know human nature. They know that there can be no human explanation for why you aren't falling apart, depressed and bitter and angry. It's a great testimony. But the other thing that what Scripture talks about, what the church has always taught, is that we are given in our dark places an opportunity to offer Him a sacrifice. That when we praise Him in the midst of our dark place, we're saying to Him, Lord, I offer to You this suffering as a sacrifice. I love You, and I give this to You, rejoicing in You, not complaining, but glorying You and honoring You, that in this You're still Lord, and I love You. And I offer this sacrifice to You. And I ask that You would take the suffering and Your heart would be moved to bring healing to fallen and broken humanity around me. Particularly in relationship to the kind of suffering I'm going through. If it's the suffering of loneliness, Lord, I offer this loneliness to You and I thank You. And I ask that You would accept this sacrifice. And that, Lord, You would pour out grace on those who are lonely and bring healing to them in response to my sacrifice. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? That is a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. It's one of the other great treasure of darkness. This is one of the things that Mother Teresa said. Suffering, when embraced for others, when transformed by love. The Lord, I thank you for this suffering because I can now offer this to you as a sacrifice, asking you to pour out your grace to heal those who are going through the same kind of suffering. When embraced for others, when transformed by love, darkness indeed becomes light. It gives meaning beyond just the glory of God in the face of Christ that I'm going to glean the light for me. I'll offer it to God that He would pour out light to others. It gives meaning to my suffering. And you all, I've discovered this to be such a powerful weapon because, see, the devil is the accuser of the brethren, and he believes in the darkness you're going to deny Christ. You're going to deny God just like he believed Job would. If you touch this in his life, he'll deny you. Instead, not only do you not deny him, you praise him and you offer to him as a sacrifice of praise your suffering and say, Lord, I offer this to you. I thank you for this gift I can give now to you. That which is filling up, that which is lacking, it says in Colossians, of Christ's affliction. And I thank you for this gift I can give back to you in joy. So that's what makes it a sacrifice of praise. I'm rejoicing. Lord, thank you. I give this to you. You know, simple things like, Lord, I thank you for the gift of uncooperative children. And I offer this to you as a sacrifice. And I ask you to pour out grace to help parents to walk in love, to know healing in their souls. For Matt and Jennifer, Lord, not only can they know Christ in this, but extracting the treasure, know the face of Jesus. And I'm sure their hearts are filled with the face of Jesus to sustain them. But Lord, it's not just about us. For the others, there are others who are now in fear of the life of their children, who've lost their children to death, whose children have run away from home. They don't know where they are. Lord, I offer this suffering to you, and I thank you for this suffering. I can offer this to you in this fear. And I give you thanks. And I ask you that you, in response to this sacrifice, would pour out your grace to heal other fallen and broken people who are grieving and are knowing the pain that comes from being parents. I believe with all my heart God does that. Don't you? See, that's so redemptive to me. And so my prayer is tonight is that that we'll just catch a glimpse again of just the ways of God. And that you and I don't have to live fearing, dreading darkness. And that we can see the redemptive value, not only for us personally, that this is so that we can know the face of Christ and experience the glory of God, but also that others might be healed. You know, and if we say we're going to walk in love, and we're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, then we that aspect of the treasures of darkness is a wonderful thing, an amazing thing. And I know that when Livia first discovered she had cancer, if you remember us talking about that, you know, we prayed for healing and all the things we should have. And we also thanked the Lord for the trial. We offered that to Him as a sacrifice and asked Him to pour out His grace for others who were suffering the same kind of trial. They would be healed or they would be, you know, in their hearts peace and joy. And I believe that it mattered. I believe that people did know that. Okay? Well, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.